unbelievable sus. Be here in Shaolin for women. We had a big Yom Kippur. Very meaningful. Davening was nice. I want you to know I'm not really in the seminary world. I'm really more in the yeshivas. But I do get around speaking in a lot of the seminaries. I have to tell you, Shalvin Baruch Hashem today has an excellent reputation. The girls are mamish doing something very special. You're part of something very special. It's a very big schus to be speaking to you. And I just, before we even start, I just want to wish all of us that it should be a good kvittel. You should have an amazing year. You should be able to grow from your rebbeim and your mechanchot. It's really a very special thing to be here in Israel at this time. So thank you for sharing a little bit of your year with me. It's a fascinating medrash. And girls, to hear this medrash, you really have to open your hearts. You know, in some places you have to open your minds, and in some places you have to open your hearts. This is one of those medrashim where you have to open your hearts. The medrash says, and we know the pasuk calls Sukkot Yom Rishon. When it comes to Dalaminim, Sukkot is called the first day. But Sukkot is not on the first day. When Sukkot, girls? Which day of the month? The 15th of the month. So the Medrash wants to know, why is Sukkot called the first day? So the Medrash tells a mashal. The mashal is of a king who looked at one of the countries in his kingdom, and that particular country had stopped paying taxes, and they owed the king a tremendous amount of money. So the king understood that it was a rebellion. So he marshals his army together, and they set out to conquer this country. And the country, of course, hears that the king is coming. And when the king is 10 miles out, so the great dignitaries of this country come out to greet the king. And they come to his tent, traveling along, and they tell the king, "Your Majesty, you're making a mistake. It's not a rebellion. We've been hit by hard times. We simply don't have the money. You're misreading the situation. Please forgive us. It's our fault, we should have communicated better, but please forgive us." And the king immediately says, "Okay, a third of the taxes you don't have to pay me." But he continues to march on the country, and when he's 5 miles out, the Beinonim, not the greatest dignitaries, simple dignitaries, dignitaries nonetheless, they come out to greet the king. And the king, once again, meets with them, and they explain to him, "Your Majesty, Chas v'shalom, that we would be married by Malchus, it's not a rebellion. Nothing we want more than to pay you the money. Unfortunately, we don't have it." And the king says, "Okay," and he knocks off another third of the taxes. But he continues to march on the country, and when he enters in, all the people from the country, they come out to greet the king. And immediately the king wipes out the remainder of the taxes, and he says to them, "Okay, we will begin counting anew." And the Medrash says, before Rosh Hashanah, the greatest tzaddikim, they fast. They fast, and immediately Hashem wipes out a third of our averus. He wipes them out. After Rosh Hashanah, it's a minute to fast. The Beinonim fast. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes off another third of our averus. But when he comes to us on Yom Kippur, and we all greet him fasting, the Rebbeinu Shalom wipes out the rest of the averus. Now we have a couple of days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Who has the time to possibly do any averus? We're running around like crazy, making plans for Sukkot. Who has time to sin? So what's the first day of the new accounting, says the Medrash? The first day of the new accounting is the first day of Sukkot. And that's why Sukkot is called the first day. But girls, did you hear it? Now sometimes, you know, when you speak in yeshivas, nobody takes notes. I know the difference between seminaries and yeshivas. In yeshivas, nobody takes notes. In seminaries, you sneeze, and they write it down in parentheses. "You sneezed at this moment." I've seen it happen. Did you hear it, girls? The first day of the new accounting, when are we going to start sinning? Sukkot. Girls, does that make any sense? Imagine you're sitting in the sukkah. Who could sin in the sukkah? You're sitting in the sukkah, beautiful sukkah, the sach. The tzelet, the mehemnusa, who could sin in the sukkah? And if we're going to sin in the sukkah, then we probably already sinned, no? So what does the Medrash mean? Most people don't understand that Sukkot is really a continuation of Yom Kippur. Really, it's all a continuation. Everything in the whole calendar is a continuation. But really, really, you have to know that Sukkot is a continuation of Yom Kippur. Girls, why do we celebrate Sukkot? What does the Pasuk tell us? Since we left Mitzrayim, where did we stay? In Sukkot. In Sukkot. The Anan Yaakov. But if that's the case, girls, then when should we be celebrating Sukkot? Nisan. With Pesach. So you know the Gra? You know how the Gra explains this? The Gra says, why do we celebrate Sukkot now? Very quickly. He says, because we did the Chet HaEgel. And what happened when we did the Chet HaEgel? The Anan Yaakov left. So we have to do tshuva for the Chet HaEgel. When did we finally do tshuva for the Chet HaEgel? On Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, now you've done tshuva, let's rebuild the Mishkan. That was on the 11th. Yeah? And he said, okay, we need 13 different materials. Go get from me all these materials. It took them 2 days. That's the 12th and the 13th. On the 13th, they announced stop. On the 14th, they announced stop, rather. And on the 15th, we started building the Mishkan. As soon as we built the Mishkan, what returned? The Anan Yaakov would return. So really, why do we have Sukkot now, even though Sukkot is supposed to be in Nisan? Because Sukkot is a continuation of Yom Kippur. It's the celebration of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us for the Chet HaEgel. Now the Anan Yaakov would have returned. But for us girls, what does this mean? I want to tell you something. I want you to think for a moment about the person that you love most in your life. It's a very special person. A person that, even to think about the fact that they wouldn't be here, it's like amputating a part of yourself. So how can we sometimes get into fights with those people? You know, they say in psychology, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. But who do we love? Our mother is such a special person, so how can we fight with people that we love? Sometimes we fight with somebody that we love because we love them so much. I love you so much, I don't know how you could have done that to me. How, don't you know how much I care about you? Why did you push me away? This is every husband and wife, by the way. Every husband and wife who fight, it's the most normal and natural thing in the world. Why? Because we love each other so much. Why are you pushing me away? Had a Talmud once whose parents told him that they were getting divorced. So I said to him, did you see it coming? He said, no, Rabbi, I never saw it coming. My parents never fought. I said, that should have been your first son. Because people who love each other, because they love each other, sometimes it's difficult to connect and they feel a little pushed away. And then since they get pushed away, they feel a little defensive and back and forth. But what happens, girls, when two people who love each other very much manage to see through all the pain and all the hurt, and even just for a little bit, they're able to reconnect? What's the feeling that they have? The feeling that they have is, I can't believe we were so stupid to spend our time fighting with each other. Well, you don't have this in seminary with a roommate that you love. Of course, a roommate that you love, but somehow, especially in seminary, to put two girls or three girls in the same room, it's like a chulent of disaster. Nobody should ever be living in that close proximity to each other. It's not the pshat we don't like each other. We love each other. But you go to sleep a little later, and she goes to sleep a little earlier, and she's on the phone at night, and the light is keeping you up, so you say something, but the way that she takes it, and before you know it, you're sitting in Rabbi Turetsky's office, and you say, I can't take this girl anymore, I don't want to room with her, she's going to ruin my year, right? That's the way it always goes. One small thing becomes the biggest thing in the world. But what happens when you actually sit down and you talk to that person? At the end, how should you feel? You should feel so close, you should feel so blessed to have that person in your life. So listen very carefully, girls. Do you know what it was like for the Rebbeinu Shalom when we did Chet HaEgel? Can you imagine 40 days earlier, the Rebbeinu Shalom came and he said, I'm going to give you the most precious gift that I have in the world. I'm going to give you the gift of me. Because when the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us the Aseres HaDibros, what's the first word in the Aseres HaDibros? The first word in the Aseres HaDibros is Anochi. And what does Anochi stand for? I wrote myself in this. Imagine if you gave somebody your diary and you said, this is my innermost thought. This is the thing that I've always been thinking and that I've been waiting to share with the world for thousands of years, and I'm giving it to you. And imagine if 40 days later that person went and betrayed you in the worst possible way. How would you feel? You would feel so broken. That protection, those anani akavod, that feeling of love, what did Rabbeinu Shalom say? He said, I can't be here right now. And what was the feeling that we had? The feeling that we had was so confused because we never meant to do anything wrong. We only wanted to be close to him. We did it in the wrong way, but that's what we wanted. So just like two people who love each other got into an argument, so too the Rabbeinu Shalom said, how could you do this to me? And it took us time to understand what we did wrong until we came on Yom Kippur and we said the following. See, and again, I want to, even though it's after Yom Kippur, I still want to make this clarification. There's no inyan on Yom Kippur, and you see sometimes in yeshivas and seminaries, you see the girls, when they're saying Ashamnu Bagadnu, you see them beating themselves. No, you ever see like a guy, he's like, you know, he's like, you know, been in the workout room for too long in yeshiva already, he's like, Ashamnu, it's like a King Kong, Ashamnu Bagadnu, you know, it's very male, it's like, ah, forgive me, you know, he's like, what are you doing? Eventually doesn't need that. And with the girls, see, I know a little about girls. I have five daughters, but I know nothing about girls. I know a little about girls. I know, this is not a sitter, but I will do so a little smaller. But I know this about girls. I know the way you daven, I've seen it. See, boys, we daven like this. You know? And sometimes, like, you know, if you've gotten really frum, so it looks like you're having a seizure, you know. But girls, I know this is what you do. First of all, what's this move? Why are you grabbing your shoulder? No? It's true. Yep, every one of you. Yep. I've never seen a guy grab his elbow. But 1 second, I know a little better. I don't think you need a sitter because you can't possibly read the words. Do the forward shuffle. Notice this. Go side to side. I dated a girl once who pulled out a sitter to bench from. It was like makeup. It was like a makeup bag. She could have like reapplied her makeup when we met the makeup that was on the sitter. So I just needed to get that off my chest. Thank you for sharing that. I told you I know a very little bit about girls, but that's what I know. That's the whole thing. I also know that if they come to me, I say, you should go to your mother. That's the other thing I know. It's the only thing I know. But the inyan of Ashamnu is not, it's not to beat yourself. That's not the inyan of Yom Kippur. Chevra, you know what the inyan of Yom Kippur is? Yom Kippur is such a simple thing. It's, do you have the courage to look the person you love in the face and go, this is not the person that I want to be, but this is what I did this year. This is the whole inyan of Yom Kippur. Isn't that much more beautiful than beating yourself up? And feeling that shame and guilt and depression. It's healthy regret. This is not the person that I am. It's much simpler. That's derecha d'archeinom. It's a very simple thing. So you know what happens when you look somebody you love in the face and you have the courage to lean into that uncomfortable vulnerability and say, Ashamnu? What's always going to be the response is, I love you. You know, vulnerability is the greatest gift. Isn't marriage the greatest gift? It's so uncomfortable, but isn't it the greatest gift? Because when you show somebody how vulnerable you are, so they think, wow, that's incredibly courageous. By us, we feel like it's weak. Whenever you're vulnerable in front of somebody, you feel like it's a little weak. But the truth is, when we see vulnerability, we see strength, no? So when somebody comes to you and they're so vulnerable, and they say, this is what I did the entire year, and they're not beating themselves up. In a certain way, if somebody would come to you, let's make it a little bit more mugzam, a little more exaggerated. If somebody comes to you, and they're doing that whole shuffling, and they're beating themselves, and they're saying, I was such a terrible person to you this year. In a certain way, isn't it a little bit more about them than it is about the hurt that they caused you? If somebody comes in an honest way and makes an accounting, isn't that the single most beautiful thing in the world? What do you want to do to that person? You want to give them a hug. So listen what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, smolo tachas l'roishi, V'yamini tachakeni. Smile tachas l'roishi, that's what we were going through. Smile, that left hand, that's din. V'yamini tachakeni, is the chibuk of Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, it was then. Sukkot is v'yemini techakeni, it's that chibuk. It's that hug that we're being given by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And listen, girls, what the Eitz Chaim says. Girls, what's the halacha? How many walls do you need in your sukkah? Two and a bit. Two and a bit. So what's the two and a bit? V'yemini techakeni, there's three parts to the arm. From your shoulder to your elbow, that's one wall. From your elbow to your wrist, that's two walls. And then a little bit from your hand, from your wrist to your fingertips. That's the hug that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is giving you. Sukkot is a hug. It's a hug from Hashem. It's a hug after we looked at him courageously, and we said, and he's saying to us, come back. It's Gemara Yuma. Gemara Yuma from Reish Lakish. And we'll have to understand why it's Reish Lakish that tells us this Gemara. Reish Lakish says, tshuva is amazing. Because when you do tshuva miyira, what's the halacha, girls? All the aveiros that you did, even if they were done on purpose, they become accidental. But if you do tshuva me'ava, says Reish Lakish, then your aveiros become zchuyos. Well, girls, what does that mean? How could you have... I understand that you want to say that they become accidental. The truth is I don't even really understand that. But a little bit we could understand. But to say that my aveiros became mitzvahs, how does that make any sense? So I want to tell you a story. And it's the story of Reish Lakish. Girls, how many people here know who Reish Lakish is? Heard of Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish was the biggest ganav in the world. He was the biggest ganav in the world. He was a terrible person. And one time he saw someone bathing in the river. Who did he see, girls? Nope. This is Rebbe. Yochanan. So is Rebbe Rav Yochanan, but again, he wasn't his Rebbe yet. Bathing in the river, and Rav Yochanan was a very beautiful person. Very beautiful. And it's unclear, different Rishonim explain this Gemara in different ways, it's unclear whether Reish Lakish thought that Rav Yochanan from high atop the mountain, whether he thought Rav Yochanan was a man or a woman, but he jumped off the mountain, dived into the river with the intent to do something very inappropriate to Rav Yochanan. Imagine he lands with that big splash, water goes everywhere, and Rav Yochanan looks at him, and he says, "Chel chol oirais, your power should be used for Torah." And Reish Lakish looks at him and he says, "Shufrech l'nashim, your beauty should be used for women." It's a very strange conversation. Generally, as I see people coming to attack me, I don't go, "Chel chol oirais." It's not, and then they don't look at me and go, "Shufrech l'nashim," probably because of the beard. But, I don't know, yeah? Nobody's ever said that to me. It makes me feel a little bad. And then Rav Yochanan says something even stranger to Reish Lakish. After he says, Shuvrech L'Nashim, he goes, "I'll tell you what. Want to marry my sister?" No, I have a sister. I have one sister. If somebody comes to do a terrible thing to me, I'm not going to offer them a shidduch to my sister. Imagine that shidduch phone call beforehand, checking out Reish Lakish's references. Yeah, I met him in the river, seemed like a nice guy. He was a little aggressive at first, but afterwards we had a really nice conversation, you know? That's not generally the way it goes. I don't think there was a shidduch checklist back then. I don't know exactly what the story was. And that's what happened. He married his sister, and he did tshuva. So I want to share with you a pshat that I heard, and this is like the most incredible vart. You know what happened when Reish Lakish jumped in the river? Rav Yochanan was the ultimate teacher. He was the most amazing teacher. And he looked at Reish Lakish, and he saw a hurt Jew. He didn't see the Averis. He just saw somebody who was hurt. Somebody who was broken. Too many rebellion told Reish Lakish, "Get out of class. Why do you do this? You're a bad kid." Too many rebellion knocked Reish Lakish down. So when he exhibited that type of power, Rav Yochanan looked at him and said, "Chel chel oiraisa. You should be learning." But listen, girls, listen how Reish Lakish heard it. He heard it like just another criticism from another Rebbe in his life. So he says, "Shufrech l'nashim. You think that I'm displaced? You're also displaced. We're all displaced." So Rav Yochanan realized there was nothing that he could say to Reish Lakish to turn him around because he was so defensive. And Tor Rav Yochanan looked at him and he said, "No, I really mean it. You're obviously very special. I would give you my sister." For the first time in his life, Reish Lakish said, "Wow, somebody believes in me. Somebody is looking past my Aveira." And Reish Lakish came back and he ended up being the great Reish Lakish. Why? Because there's two ways that you could see your Aveiras. You can look at your Aveira and you can feel deeply ashamed of your Aveira. And by the way, there's nowhere in the Torah that says you need to be ashamed of your Aveiras. You have to have regret. But there's nowhere that says you have to be ashamed. But most of us are carrying this 10,000-pound knapsack filled with our Aveiras of, if you would only know what I did. If you would only know what I did. You would tell me I'm the worst person in the world. But girls, you can't treat yourself like that. It's not nice. It's not a nice thing to do. You have to have a Rebbe in your life that looks at you and says, Chelchelo Eraisu. I would let you marry my brother. This is not who you are. On Yom Kippur, we come to the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, look what we did. And the Rebbeinu Shalom looks back at us and he goes, I love you. Not anyway. I love you because you have the capability of sinning and you came to me and said, Rebbe, look what I did. Look at the mess that I've made. Is there anything more beautiful than that? Than somebody that you love saying, I don't love you despite your flaws, I just love you. The Dubna Magi tells a mashal of a king whose most precious jewel fell and it got a crack right in the middle of the diamond. And he called all the jewelers in the land to try to come fix it, and nobody could fix it until one old Jew, because what would a mashal be without one old Jew? Until one old Jew comes to the king and he says, I can fix it, but you have to trust me. So he gives him the jewel, and he starts to carve more scratches and more indentations into the jewel. And the king is freaking out. What are you doing? He says, I told you, you have to trust me. And at the end, he shows him that the diamond that he made was a beautiful rose. And that crack that was in the middle of the diamond is now the stem of the rose. And the Dubna Magid is telling us, girls, that you have to look at those cracks in your life, those things that you're not proud of, and you have to learn to build a rose around those things. Don't get caught in the trap of saying, this is who I am. We are so much bigger than the Aveira that we did. But the worst thing is that we define ourselves that way. So the Rebbeinu Shalom, after Yom Kippur, says, come here. Come home. Say a mashal from Rav Shlomo Kabach. And girls, when you're married, you're going to know this mashal is the truest thing in the world. It says that there was a husband and wife who were fighting with each other. And the wife, she said, I've had enough of you. I've got to take a break. I'm going back to my parents' house. And he said, okay, while you're gone, I'm going to be traveling the world. So she goes back to her parents' house, and she gets a postcard from Switzerland, from her husband. And the husband's telling her how beautiful Switzerland is, and he tells her about this girl that he met. And she's shocked. She meant to take a break. She didn't mean for it to be over. And then the next week, she gets another postcard from France, and then another postcard from Italy. And every single postcard, he's met a different girl. And finally, she goes to her parents, and she tells her parents what's been going on, which is the biggest mistake you can ever make. If you have a problem in your marriage, the last people you should go to is your parents. Because they're always going to hold, I knew he was no good for you the entire time. They're never going to take his side. Trust me, I have a mother-in-law, yeah? Who I love very deeply, I'm just joking, if you're listening to this, yeah? No, for real, we have an amazing relationship. No, we do. So, and then the parents start shepherding her. She got a divorce, and she can't take her parents anymore, so she says, you know what, I'm going back home. And she goes back home, and she opens up the door. And she sees that in her husband's study, the light is on. She says, oh my God, somebody broke into our house. And she goes into her husband's study, and who's sitting there? Her husband. She says, how could you be here? I just got a postcard from Russia that you were there with some girl. And then she looks on the desk, and there's a pile of postcards. And she realizes, he never left. He's just buying these postcards from all over the world and sending them to me. She says, why would you do that? So he said, I never wanted you to leave to begin with. But I thought that it would be nice for you that if you left, that you feel like I'm taking a break too. So I made it up, but I never left. Says Shlomo Kalbach, he says, that's what it's like between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so we thought the Ribbono Shel Olam left, so we left, but the truth is the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. But how amazing is it going to be, girls, in just a couple of days when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? How amazing is it going to be when we come back? Because is there anything better than coming back home? There's nothing better. When you get into a fight with someone you love, there's nothing better than coming back home. Anyone here ever go to sleepaway camp? You know when your parents pick you up from the bus and you're covered in so much grease and grime? Actually, I don't know if the girls do that. But the boys haven't taken a shower at least for a month. The parents came on visiting day and they made scratches in the soap so that the parents would think that they're taking a shower. But the boys are mamish filthy and disgusting. But you know how for 2 days, it doesn't matter what you do, your mother's going to do everything for you because you've been missing for a month? It's a great feeling. And then I always knew when I came home, I always knew when it was up. I always knew there was that one time that my mother screamed for me and I said, okay, vacation's over, I'm back home. But there's a grace period. Why? Because if you've been gone for a while, because of the richuk, because of the distance, the gaguim, the love that we have is so much stronger. And this is what it means, b'makom shebalei tshuvim oimdim ein tzadikim gemurim oimdim. After you become a balash tshuva, after you become a bal tshuva, you're in a place that the biggest tzaddik can't be. You know why? Because the tzaddik never leaves. The tzaddik is so amazing. He never does an aveira, which is great. But that means he can only get this high. But somebody who does an aveira, somebody who is mired in the relationship, because of stupidity, not because they really cared about it, but they come back and they clarify and they say, you're the most important person in the world. They're on a much higher level than the tzaddik. That's a crazy thing to think about, but it's like a trampoline. The lower you go, the higher you go up. Rav Turetsky, do you remember when we were in yeshiva that after a couple of years of being in yeshiva, I don't know about you, I don't know if you ever left, but I came back to Eretz Yisrael, I went back to America, and I used to come back to visit. And I would walk into the mirror. How many chaverim were sitting and learning in the mirror? And which guys were they? They were not the guys who were doing the right things in high school. It was like a skula. If you were the captain of the hockey team and you were at the biggest parties and you were the biggest whatever, somehow you ended up in the mirror. Except for Yaakov. But I'm saying, but Big Adol, that's who was there. So I once got a phone call from very, very chashuv of Rosh Yeshiva. And he says to me, my daughter got engaged, I get a mazel tov. I said, beautiful. To who? So he tells me this boy's name. I said, I know him from high school. He said, no, I thought you went to Rama. So I said, I did. He said, but he went to MTA. I didn't realize, he never knew that he was thrown out of MTA. So then I didn't tell him the rest of the story. The rest of the story was that he was arrested on the plane coming to Israel. On the plane. And his Rosh Yeshiva came to meet him in the airport, and in handcuffs, he was expelled from the yeshiva. In handcuffs. And Baruch Hashem, he went to Neve. And then next thing I knew, he was marrying this Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, learning in Bris Yukel. So I was trying to figure out exactly what this yeshiva knew, because I was like, I don't think he went from MTA to Bris Yukel. There was like a gap. You know? But why is that? Why is it that those guys that have all that, be nice, energy inside of it, that somehow when it gets redirected, it's the most incredible thing in the world? Another chaver of mine, also thrown out of high school in 10th grade, is learning Dayanus by Rav Asher Weiss right now. To be honest with you, sometimes I think about, why didn't I mess up more in high school? I'd be a better Eved Hashem, apparently. Maybe I've had like longer passes, like, I don't know, like, a bigger beard. Because if you have that in you, and then you have the courage to say, this is not who I am, then you're standing on a much higher level than anybody else that never had the opportunity. And we've had so many opportunities, Baruch Hashem, to sin. So now we have the opportunity to create that clarity of, is this who I really am? And listen, girls, open your hearts real wide now. Listen so carefully. You know what the Sfas Hamas says? You know why the halacha is that you have to see the stars when you're looking through the sach? Because you have to see that you're all the way up. You're mamish in the bechina of the kechavim. You're not here. You're not down here. You're all the way up because of the tshuva that we've done. You're standing all the way up high. It's an unbelievable thing. And you're covered by the schach. And the schach really is the smoke from the ketores. And the ketores is made from one of the ingredients of schalbana, which is this foul-smelling substance. And why is it in the ketores? Because ketores means keshen. It means connection. And that foul-smelling aveira that we did, it gufa creates the connection. And this is why the Ushpizin come to visit us on Sukkot. Normally we go to visit the tzaddikim, right? But on Sukkot, the tzaddikim come to us. You're sitting in the sukkah. You know who's joining you in the sukkah? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Why are they joining you? Because you're on a higher level. You imagine being on a higher level than Avram Avinu. For those days, we're on a higher level than Avram Avinu. And that's why on sukkah, there's a special inyan to take the dalet minim in the sukkah. You know, the halakha is you can take the dalet minim anywhere, but girls, if you have the opportunity to shake lulav in the sukkah, you should do it in the sukkah. Because every single aspect of lulav is all about all those Jews, even those Jews that mamish lo tan velo reach, they've done terrible averas, they're also in the sukkah. Everybody's in the sukkah. And that's why a sukkah is a diras arai. Because there's no diras keva anymore. There's no place where you belong. When you love somebody so much, there is no makum for you. That's why when you meet people who are newly engaged or newly married, they're not in this world. It's for those of us who have been married for a while, that cynicism takes over. And it's beautiful, it's beautiful. The truth is beautiful. Your chassins are all going to be amazing. But I want you to know right now that the couples that are in their 30s and 40s and 50s are sitting there going, this mazel tov. Just wait. Just you wait. Yeah. But they don't have a place. You see people during Sheva Brachos. Now it's already a minute. It's a sick minute that we have to be an hour late to Sheva Brachos. This is like the ultimate Jewish time. We're going to call it for this time because the Chasan and Kala won't show up until this time. But why can't the Chasan and Kala show up on time? Because they're not anywhere. They're not anywhere. They're neither here nor there. What are they doing all day? What did we do all day when we were engaged? Do you have any recollection? I don't know what I did all day. I think my wife took me shopping. I'm pretty sure we went shopping. I have no idea. We were not in the world. My Rebbe Kanayahara is 89 years old. I once was at his house, and I saw something that I feel like I shouldn't have seen. I was sitting in his kitchen with him and his wife. Very, very special. My Rebbe is one of the Gedolei Hador. Very special just to be in their apartment in Borough Park. Just my Rebbe and his wife and me at the kitchen table. And on their fridge, right behind me, they had pictures of their family at the chasnas. You know, at some point, girls, when you're in your late 80s, those pictures, they get big. Because he had 8 children, and each one of them had 8 children, and at this point, each one of them have had 8 children. So the photographer is using like a wide lens, standing 100 feet back. That's why you have to wait an hour and a half after the chuppah for the pictures, because the Zaidi wants a picture of everybody. Yeah. And there's more people in his family than there are girls in this room right now. So I commented to my Rebbe, I said, Rebbe, it looks more like a tribe or a clan than a family. So he said something from, you know, something like, yeah, Baruch Hashem, you know. And his wife looked at him, and she smiled, and she said, and all from a couple of kids who had no idea what they were doing. And then they shared a look, and the look could not have lasted more than a second, but for me it was the most uncomfortable second of my life. I felt like it was like 2 minutes. I'm like, oh my God. I posh don't belong here. Why? Because could you imagine being in your late 80s? You're invincible. You're 18, 19 years old. Nothing's going to happen to you. But when you're in your 80s, and you've already seen, when you're in your 80s, it's pretty much done, right? There's not much left to do. You've seen it all, sickness and health, all the fights you're going to have, raising children. You've been through the war. And what's the feeling that you have? The feeling that you have is you look back and you go, you've made us stronger. We were a couple of kids who had no idea what we were doing, and look what we built. And every single one of my Rebbe's children is in Chinuch. Every single one of them is a Marbitz Torah. So in addition to the thousands upon thousands of Talmidim that my Rebbe has, think about how many people he's impacted. And all from a couple of kids that had no idea what they were doing. Girls, to come back is so much more special than to have never left. So I want to share with you one last very deep thing. If you can hang in there for a little bit longer, I know it's not so hard to be the third speaker, and I'm sure there's lunch coming after this. And I know that there's a rule, you're not allowed to stand between a seminary girl and her lunch. I know, I say I know very little about women, but I know that's one of the rules, yeah? It's worse than yeshivas. You can't, to be by lunch with the guys is mamish, it's the beginning of fighting. It's a very, very strange practice that we have on Sukkot. It's called Nisuch HaMayim. What's Nisuch HaMayim? Every single day, what do we have? We have Nisuch HaYayim. We pour the wine libation. Yeah, fancy word. The wine libation on the Mizbeach. But on Sukkot, we have the Nisuch HaMayim. What's the Nisuch HaMayim? The Nisuch HaMayim is when they drew water from the Meshiloach, and they poured it on the Mizbeach in the southwest corner through these pipes, and it went all the way down into the earth. That's the Nisuch HaMayim. And apparently this was a very big deal. They made a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It happened early in the morning. But the Simcha from that moment on was wild. Everybody was dancing. The biggest tzaddikim were there, and everybody was watching them, and they were juggling and doing acrobatics. It was an incredible thing. And Chazal say, Ad Kedei Kach, that if you never saw the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, then you've never seen true Simcha. And the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says that Shoeva wasn't just drawing water, but from that drawing of the water was mamish drawing Ruach HaKodesh down into the world. So it's a very strange thing. What is the significance of the Nisuch HaMayim? Girls, where were we created? We were created from the dirt that was exactly under the Mizbeach. Rashi says, Adam mimakom kaparoso nivra. We were created from the place of our kapara. You hear it? We were here. We were created exactly from the place of our kapara. And in that hole, where the Rebbeinu Shlomo, so to speak, dug us out, in that hole, the Nisuch HaMayim went down. That's where the water went down. So listen to the kasha the Argad Al-Yo asks. We know that when the world was created, Hashem split the heavens, and He split the water, and some water stayed up in Shamayim, and some water came down to this world. And the water that came down to this world, the Medrash says, was very upset with Hashem. Why did you send this away from me? So Rebbeinu Shlomo tried to appease the water, and he said, listen, every day on the Mizbeach, you're going to put salt. It's going to come from the water, ideally from the Yam HaMelech. You're going to put salt on the Mizbeach, and the salt is going to ascend to Shamayim. And the water, on Sukkot, you're going to have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Nisuch HaMayim, and that water will go down into the earth. And the waters were appeased. Says the Argad Al Yo, I understand why the salt was appeased, because the salt from the water goes back up. But why was the Mayim appeased? The Mayim is going down. Adam mimakom kaparaso nivro. Because the water is going down where? It's going down to our place of our chet. And that's how it comes back up. There's something called yirida letzarech aliyah. There's something called going down to come back up. So the water is appeased because just like the water deserves to come back to its source, that's what it wants. So to we who left, so to speak, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, we deserve to come back. So the Nisuch HaMayim is the simcha of coming back to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And girls, this is unbelievable. If you came to Israel just to hear this Kedushas Levi, it would have been worth it. The Kedushas Levi says, you know what the Nisuch HaMayim is? You know what that water is? On Rosh Hashanah we did Tshuva Meira. And girls, what did we say in the very beginning from Reish Lakish? If you do Tshuva Meira, then your Averos become Kishkagos. But if you do Tshuva Me'ava, then your Averos become Kisvuyos. So on Rosh Hashanah, girls, what did we do? We did tashlich. We took our averos, tashlich, v'mtzulos hayam eschatosam, and we threw our averos into the water. And on Sukkot, we go back to the water and we get them out. Because after we've done the tshuva me'ava, now all of those averos that we did, they brought us closer to Hashem. We got to go back to the water and bring our averos back. They say a ma'aseh about the Kedushas Levi, that he was walking one Yom Kippur and he saw a Jew doing an avera. So he went over to this Jew and he said to him, you know, Rabbi, I know you know that it's Yom Kippur, but I have to tell you, I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous of your averus. So this guy looks at Rav Levi Yitzchak and he says, you're jealous of my averus? He says, yeah, because when you do tshuva, oh man, are you going to do tshuva. It's going to be the greatest tshuva in the world. And you're going to have so many zchuyos because of all the averus that you did. So the man smiled at Rav Levi Yitzchak and he goes, yeah, by next year you're going to be even more jealous of me. I'm going to do so many more averus. But you know, that was the way of the Kedushas Levi. The way of the Kedushas Levi was only to say positive things. And he brought that person into his life, and by the next Yom Kippur, they say he did an unbelievable tshuva. Because you gotta go back into the water, girls. You gotta get those averas back. You gotta go back to your chavera. You gotta go back to the people that you love in your life, and you have to say with courage and vulnerability, I'm mamash love you more than anything in the world. You have to be able to look into your avera and not be afraid of it, because it's the greatest gift you were ever given. Girls, you know how lobsters grow? They grow until they fit their shell, and then they go through a very uncomfortable process of shedding their shell until they grow a new one. And over again, until you see those big lobsters in the tank. Girls, could you imagine if a lobster went to a psychiatrist? They say, I'm very uncomfortable in the shell. It just doesn't feel like it fits me. The psychiatrist would say, okay, tell me how you feel. I'll give you a Valium. And it would never grow. You can only grow when you have the courage to look inside of yourself and say, I'm ready to be new. I'm ready to return. I'm ready to come back. So on Sukkot we say, Harachamanu Yakamanu as Sukkot Tavaranu Falas. That the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why Harachaman for a destroyed Beis HaMikdash? Girls, a destroyed Beis HaMikdash is the most beautiful thing in the world. Because a destroyed Beis HaMikdash is the opportunity to be rebuilt. And that's why when Rabbi Akiva saw the Beis HaMikdash and it was destroyed, he was laughing when everybody else was crying. Because everybody else only sees the brokenness. But Rabbi Akiva knows how to see the healing. He knows how to see the redemption. So I want to bless us all. The following line. It's one of my favorite lines in the entire world, and it was written by the Kedushas Levi. And the Kedushas Levi was a poet and he was a singer. So he wrote one line, and this line, girls, is mamish unbelievable. He said, I'm playing hide and seek with God and I'm finding him everywhere. You know, girls, we're all playing hide and seek with God. We're all running away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The question is, can you find Hashem even when you're running away from the Ribbono Shel Olam? So I want to bless us all this Sukkot. You should mamish be able to find Hashem even when you've run away from Him, especially because we've run away from Him. Look at your Aveira, look how beautiful your Aveira is. Mirtz Hashem, in a couple of days, going to have the Nisach HaMayim, we're going to have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. I hope you'll all join me, the Bayat Binyan Bayat Shlishi. It's going to be amazing, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all there. Thank you.